And with all due respect to the legendary Rembrandt, does the world need another Rembrandt self-portrait? It appears to have one whether it wants it or not. A painting of the great master, thought for years to have been painted by a student of his, is more likely by Rembrandt himself. It was donated to Britain's National Trust 3 years ago, and the study that they've done since it came into the National Trust, infrared testing and x-rays and on, suggests that it is indeed a Rembrandt original, and that did a little something to its value. It shot up to $30 million in value now that they're led to believe it is actually a Rembrandt. In 1964, physicists including Peter Higgs theorized that a subatomic particle existed that would help explain the creation of the universe, a particle that gives everything in the universe mass. It became known as the Higgs boson. Last July, scientists at the European Organization for Nuclear Research, or CERN, announced that they'd found a particle they described as Higgs-like. And last week, after completing their examination of the data, lead researcher Joe Incandela announced that, in his words, it is clear that we are dealing with a Higgs boson. The research continues, but discovery of a Higgs boson would leap to the top of Nobel Prize contenders. And joining us to help us understand this story is Joey Houston, a professor in the MSU Physics and Astronomy Department. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And since the vast majority of our listeners are something other than physicists, can you describe what the Higgs boson might be and help us understand the importance of this discovery, please?
So this is something fundamental we've learned about the structure of the universe and how it functions. We know that there, or at least we believe that there is a field, an energy field that permeates all of space called the Higgs field. And when particles interact with this Higgs field, they interact with different strengths. So those that interact very strongly with the Higgs field acquire a very large mass. Those that don't interact very strongly at all acquire a very low mass. So the Higgs particle or Higgs field is responsible for giving mass to the particles in the universe. The Higgs boson is a manifestation of this field. And again, as you said, it's something that we've known that should exist, or something like it should exist, back since 1964. We've been searching for it, you know, basically since then. And again, this is a real culmination, the fact that now we finally have strong evidence from the two experiments at the CERN Large Hadron Collider, ATLAS and CMS, that the Higgs boson actually exists.
Dr. Elizabeth Simmons of Michigan State's Physics and Astronomy also joins us here this morning. Can you help us understand the concept of mass, though? I hear that word and I think weight, I guess, is what I think of. I think in the popular imagination, it's something like weight. Can you help us understand the concept of mass a little bit better? Because that's what the Higgs boson is really all about.
Absolutely, Mark. So mass, probably the clearest thing would be the sense of resistance to changing how something is moving, inertia. So imagine you're in mire, you're pushing your grocery cart. If your grocery cart does not have much in it, it doesn't have a lot of mass, it's pretty easy to steer it where you want it to go. But if you load it up with cases and cases of cola products, there's suddenly a lot of mass there. And if it starts going in one direction, it's hard to stop it or turn it. So that sense of inertia or resistance to a change in motion, that's what mass is.
Is it closely related to the concept of weight, though, as we would understand it?
Sure. As we would understand it here on Earth, the main force that we notice acting on massive objects is gravity. And mass times a constant that has to do with the local strength of gravity here on Earth is the weight of an object. So they are very closely related.
MSU has researchers at the Large Hadron Collider, Joey Houston, where this research has been conducted. Do you know of any links between Michigan State and the Higgs boson project?
Yes, I mean, we have a large contingent of people who are working on the ATLAS experiment. We started in 1994, so the timescale for these experimental projects is very long term. We started constructing the detector in 1998. And finished in 2003, and from 2003 to 2008, we were installing it. you know, just to try to make it operational. So there's 8 faculty, you know, from Michigan State on the Large Hadron Collider, 5 postdoctoral research associates, 5 graduate students at the moment, and a large number of undergraduates through the years. So all of them have been working to try to assemble the experiment, commission it, run the experiment, and do physics analyses. So I myself have been working on the Higgs boson searches, among other physics topics at the LHC. Most of the other faculty are involved in, you know, other physics topics like search for something called the single top production, you know, which is sort of a specialty of the faculty at Michigan State University. Mm. I mean, that's one of the advantages of the Large Hadron Collider. It's not just searching for one thing. The Higgs boson is certainly the most important thing that we've discovered so far, but it's like a fire hose. There's so much physics coming out that it's hard to, you know, do all the physics that can be done.
How about that? It must be awfully exciting for a researcher, though.
It is.
Yeah. Mm. These are huge experiments in terms of size. Describe the collider for us and the tiny space in which this discovery was made.
Well, the collider is 27 kilometers in circumference. Sorry, I have to stay with metric here just because it's hard to think in English terms, but it's 27 kilometers in circumference. It crosses the border between France and Switzerland, so it's very interesting, actually, to go from one part of the laboratory to another. You have to cross an international border. It's about 100 meters underground.
27 kilometers, though. We're talking 13, 14 miles.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So, but again, you don't see very much evidence of it because it is, you know, 300 feet underground. And so basically it was all mined, you know, a mine shaft was constructed, you know, to put the tunnel in. The ATLAS experiment itself is about 45 meters long and 20 meters, I think, or so high. And it contains as much steel as the Eiffel Tower.
Hmm.
So it's quite a massive thing. In fact, it's very impressive if you take the elevator ride down there. First of all, it's a very long elevator ride that only has 2 stops, you know, for the at the very bottom and then about 30 feet above that. And so it's very unusual to have this elevator ride that only has 2 buttons in it. And then you go out and walk into the cavern, and it's just incredibly immense, this detector.
Have you been to the Large Hadron Collider, Elizabeth Simmons?
I was fortunate enough to visit before they closed off the tunnel and started running, and so the experiments were still being installed. I got to see both the ATLAS and the CMS experiments, and it was striking that the size of the ATLAS experiment, it's at least half as large as Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. It's simply amazing, just this cavernous space that's now all almost completely crammed with equipment, all tightly fit together.
But it's so huge because we have to generate just an incalculable amount of energy here. Is that the reason for the immensity of this thing?
Well, the reason for the immensity of the accelerator, the 27 kilometers, is that we had to reach a new energy regime. So the Fermilab collider outside of Chicago, you know, it used to be the highest energy particle accelerator in the world at energy of around 2 trillion electron volts. The Large Hadron Collider now has surpassed that. It has run at 8 trillion electron volts and ultimately will run at 13 to 14 trillion electron volts. So the larger the energy that you try to reach, the larger the accelerator has to be. So that's why 27 kilometers in circumference. You know, it has to be a very large tunnel for that region. The collisions that take place, you know, for the protons that are being accelerated against each other at that energy, produce, you know, particles of very high momentum. And in order to completely measure the properties of the collision, for example, to be able to establish that, you know, a particular event is likely to be a Higgs boson candidate, involves a very massive apparatus, you know, to accurately measure all the properties. And so that's why the detector itself has to be so big.
Connect us to the practical application of this, if you could.
Well, there are a number of different directions. I mean, one is simply in trying to design the accelerator in order to make it powerful enough. Very powerful superconducting magnets had to be employed to steer the protons around in a circle. And so new superconducting magnet technology had to be developed for this, and then that's useful in other industrial applications. Superconductors are used for, say, maglev trains, the bullet trains in Japan and in Europe and so on. A number of improvements in computer technology, for example, the World Wide Web was developed to deal with the data from particle accelerators and the data involved in simply constructing the pieces of an experiment in 100 different countries around the world and putting all those pieces together to fit together to within fractions of millimeters. You had to have really detailed blueprints, as it were. So the World Wide Web is a spin-off. Probably the most important thing that we produce, though, are the students, the educated students who then love science and are going to go on and do something interesting and technological.
That we can't even imagine,
probably. That's right.
Right. As this work continues, are there implications for facilities here at Michigan State, like the cyclotron or the FRIB?
So the FRIB is absolutely the best, going to be the best instrument in its class to look at nuclei of atoms, which are much larger than the particles we're looking at. The Higgs boson, you could fit lots of them inside of the nucleus of an atom. A nucleus is much bigger.
Okay.
So it's as though the FRIB will be like the most powerful jeweler's loop for looking at fine gems. But if you wanted to look at the atoms inside of the gem, you would need something like an electron microscope, just a different kind of instrument.
Okay.
And CERN is the best kind of electron microscope, then, if you will. They're each best in class. They look at different things.
This was originally theorized 50 years ago. Peter Higgs was the first one. His name is attached to this. And he was one of a team of six. Five of these people, I guess I'm told, are still alive. And some of them actually met for the first time at last July's announcement. This is a worldwide project. It's interesting that some of the principals had never met face-to-face before last July.
Well, they were – actually, I didn't realize that. I mean, of course, by now they're quite elderly because they had done this research 50 years ago. But it was nice to have all five of them in the room, you know, hearing this announcement that something very much like the Higgs boson had been discovered. One of them was actually my professor that I had at graduate school at the University of Rochester. So I was very happy to come up to him afterwards and say that so happy that he was there to be able to witness this.
How exciting. What's next? Is the Higgs boson the only one, or is there more to find?
Well, actually, there may be more than one Higgs boson, right? It's only within...
I knew you would say something like that.
It's only within what is called the standard model, sort of the simplest model that we have to understand nature, that there is only one Higgs boson. We know the standard model is incomplete. There are so many questions that it doesn't answer. You know, for example, you know, why is gravity so much weaker than every other force? You know, we know our universe is made up not mostly of ordinary matter. That's only a few percent. We know it's made out of dark, you know, energy and dark matter. We have no idea what those two things are. We hope, for example, that we may be able to produce dark matter candidates at the Large Hadron Collider. We haven't seen any evidence for that so far, but this is just the beginning of our physics research. Hmm. There's so many questions that have to be answered, and we hope that by running at higher energies and higher intensities, that we'll be able to uncover those mysteries.
We have been unraveling the mysteries of the Higgs boson with Joey Houston. He's a professor in the MSU Physics and Astronomy Department, and Dr. Elizabeth Simmons of Lyman Briggs College and also of the MSU Physics and Astronomy Department. Thanks to both of you.
Well, thank you.